Okay, so have you ever thought about this? Like, what if you could be denied a government job just because of something you do in your free time?
That's an interesting question.
Like, totally legal stuff, you know?
Yeah, I see what you're getting at.
It kind of seems crazy, right?
Yeah, it does.
But there's this case in Florida, City of North Miami versus Kurtz, that dealt with exactly that.
Oh, wow.
And the result might really surprise you.
I bet it does. Well, welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today we're going deep into this really important case, City of North Miami versus Kurtz.
It's a super interesting look at what happens when someone's right to privacy bumps up against what a government employer wants.
Yeah, especially for those of you out there thinking about going into law, this case is like a must study.
Totally, especially if you're into constitutional law, employment law, anything like that.
For sure. Public policy, too. This case really shows how the courts try to find that balance between personal freedom and how the government needs to operate smoothly.
And like we do every week, we've got all the important info lined up for you. The facts of the case, the arguments from both sides, and what the Florida Supreme Court ultimately decided.
Yep, we're going to break it all down.
Our goal is to really get into the nitty-gritty of privacy rights, specifically when it comes to the government hiring people right here in Florida.
Absolutely, so much to unpack.
So let's start with the basics.
Okay, sounds good.
What exactly was this policy in North Miami that got this whole thing started?
Okay, so back in 1995, the city of North Miami, they put this thing into place in an administrative regulation. Basically, it's a government policy. They numbered it 146.
Got it.
And this regulation, it had a really interesting requirement. It said anyone who wanted to work for the city, they had to sign this affidavit.
An affidavit?
Yeah, basically saying, hey, I haven't used any tobacco products for at least 1 year before applying for this job.
Wow, so a whole year, no tobacco.
Yep.
That seems pretty strict, like to get a job.
Right.
What was the city's reasoning for that?
Well, they had two main reasons.
Okay.
First, they wanted to cut down on how much they were spending on healthcare for employees who use tobacco.
Makes sense. I mean, that can get pricey.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they even had data to back it up, saying that insuring people who smoke can cost like 25 to 45% more.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference.
Huge. And their second reason was that they thought it would make their workforce more productive overall.
Okay, I mean, from a financial perspective, I can kind of see where they're coming from.
Right.
So, how did this woman, Arlene Kurtz, end up in the middle of all this?
So Arlene Kurtz, she applied for a clerk typist position with the city of North Miami.
Okay.
And during her interview, she was honest and said that she was a smoker. So of course they asked her to sign that no tobacco affidavit.
Right, but she couldn't sign it, honestly.
Exactly, because she was a smoker.
But what happened?
So she refused to sign it, and because of that, they said she couldn't have the job.
Wow, so it really boils down to this clash between the city trying to, watch their budget and an individual's right to do whatever they want in their personal life as long as it's legal.
That's it, right there at the heart of it. The big legal question in Kurtz is whether Florida's constitutional right to privacy, which is found in Article 1, Section 23, the part that protects individual rights, does that cover things like smoking when it comes to government jobs?
Right. And it's important to remember that in Florida, that right to privacy in their constitution, it's often seen as giving more protection than what you'd find under federal law.
That's a key point for sure.
And that difference is really important to understand why this case is so significant and why the outcome could be different from similar cases in other states.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So let's dig into the majority opinion from the Florida Supreme Court, the one written by Justice Overton.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What was the main point they were making?
Well, the majority decided that in this specific situation, applying for a government job, there was no reasonable expectation of privacy when it came to whether someone smoked or not.
Interesting. That
Yeah.
seems like a pretty fundamental part of their argument.
It really is. And their logic was pretty straightforward. They said that smoking is something you can see people doing, it's out in the open.
True. You think about those designated smoking areas, or how it's a normal question in everyday situations.
Yeah, like when you're picking a table at a restaurant.
Yeah, or if you're booking a hotel room.
Right, smoking or non-smoking.
Exactly. And Justice Overton, he even said, and I quote, "Smokers are constantly required to reveal whether they smoke. No reasonable expectation of privacy."
So basically, because it's something people often have to say out loud anyway, The court felt it wasn't really a private matter in this specific job situation.
That's the gist of it. And on top of that, they also considered the city's argument that they had a really important interest in saving money on health care.
Right, because they're a self-insured employer, and that money comes from taxpayers.
Exactly. And they also acknowledged the potential for better productivity as a valid concern for a public employer.
So anything else that swayed the majority's decision?
Yes, there's one more piece. The court really emphasized how specific and limited this policy was. It's really important to understand that this rule only applied to people who are applying for jobs, not to folks who already worked for the city.
Okay, so they weren't going after people who were already employed, just new hires.
Precisely. They saw that as a major difference, suggesting that the rule was carefully designed to address the city's financial and productivity worries without, you know, overstepping boundaries into the private lives of current employees.
Okay, that makes the majority side pretty clear. But you mentioned that there was a dissenting opinion from Justice Kogan.
Oh, yeah. He had a very different take. He actually suggested that the city's policy might be a speculative pretense.
What do you mean by that?
Well, his main argument was that if new employees were allowed to start smoking again right after they got hired, the whole point of saving money in the long run and making things more productive kind of fell apart.
That is a good point. I mean, it does seem kind of pointless if people could just pick up the habit again as soon as they had the job.
That's what he was getting at. And Justice Kogan, he also brought up that classic slippery slope argument.
Oh, yeah. The idea that if you let one thing slide, it could open the door to all sorts of other things.
Exactly. He was worried that this ruling could give government employers the idea to start asking all sorts of nosy questions about perfectly legal things people do outside of work.
Like what kind of things?
Like what people eat, how much they exercise, any lifestyle choice that could maybe affect healthcare costs or productivity. He even warned, and I'm quoting here, if governmental employers can inquire too extensively, the right of privacy will eventually be breached.
So for Justice Kogan, this wasn't just about smoking. It was about the bigger picture of individual privacy and whether the government was getting too involved in people's personal lives.
Absolutely. He felt that the regulation was way too broad and that it wasn't effective in achieving its stated goals, which led him to believe that it went against the privacy rights protected by Florida's Constitution, which is known for being pretty strong on that front. He saw a real mismatch between what they wanted to achieve, you know, lower healthcare costs and higher productivity, and the way they were trying to do it.
So we've got these two very different opinions from the court. How exactly do they go about analyzing these privacy claims under the Florida Constitution? Like, is there a specific set of rules they follow?
Yeah. So Florida has this three-part test when they're looking at privacy claims under their constitution. First, they ask, does the person have a reasonable expectation of privacy when it comes to this particular behavior?
Okay. So is there an expectation of privacy?
Yep. Then second, they ask, does the government have a really strong reason, like a compelling state interest, to get involved in that privacy?
So does the government have a good reason to interfere?
Exactly. And then third, if they've established both of those things, they ask, is the way the government's going about this the least intrusive way possible?
So they have to find the least intrusive way to get it done.
Right.
Okay, I'm following. So in the Kurtz case, where did the majority and the dissent disagree on how to use this test?
Well, like we talked about, the majority basically decided that Arlene Kurtz didn't even pass the first step of the test.
Okay. Because this?
They said she didn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy when it came to revealing whether she smoked or not, especially when applying for a government job.
Uh-huh. But Justice Kogan disagreed.
Right. He didn't necessarily disagree that the government had a compelling state interest, but he strongly felt that the city failed on that third part of the test. He said the way they were doing it wasn't the least intrusive, especially because there was nothing to stop people from smoking once they got the job.
This just goes to show how even when everyone agrees on the basic legal ideas, how you apply them to a specific case can lead to totally different conclusions.
That's the law for you.
Absolutely. Now, there are a few important details and consequences of this ruling that are really worth highlighting.
Okay, let's hear them.
Especially for our listeners who are studying law.
Of course.
Firstly, we have to emphasize again how different Florida's constitutional protection of privacy is from the way federal law often interprets it.
Right. Much stronger in Florida.
Yeah. A similar case in a state with weaker privacy laws might have had a completely different outcome.
No doubt.
So this ruling really only applies in Florida.
That's an important thing to remember. And the second thing is that this decision specifically applies to government employers.
Right. So private companies are different.
Exactly. Private companies in Florida might run into different legal problems if they try to do something similar, like a tobacco-free hiring policy.
Okay, that's a crucial distinction. Now, what about the fact that this policy only applied to new hires, to applicants? How much did that influence the court's decision?
That temporal limitation, as the court called it, that it only applied to people who were applying, was super important to their whole argument about the policy being narrowly tailored.
So if it had included current employees, it might have been a different story.
Very likely, yeah. If they had tried to extend it to people who were already working there, it probably would have been seen as much more intrusive and could have been considered an unreasonable invasion of their privacy.
And we can't forget Justice Kogan's point about whether letting people smoke after they get hired defeats the purpose of the policy.
Right, right.
It does seem like a pretty big loophole that makes you question whether the rule actually works.
It does raise a valid point, yeah. Mm. Does it really achieve those long-term goals of cutting costs and keeping productivity up? It suggests maybe the policy was more about making a statement or saving money right away during hiring, but not so much about the long haul.
This whole case makes you think about how things would play out in today's world, too.
For sure.
Like, would this same logic apply to things like vaping or using CBD oil?
Ooh, now that's a great question.
Yeah, because those weren't really a thing back then.
Right. And things have changed a lot. Since we know more about vaping and CBD now and the laws around them are still evolving, if a court looked at this today, they'd have to consider whether these activities are as public or as commonly disclosed as smoking cigarettes was back in 1995. Plus, the health effects and therefore the potential costs for employers could be seen differently now.
And what if a city tried to say that job applicants had to promise not to drink any alcohol at all, even when they're not working?
Interesting. Would the Kurtz precedent hold up there?
Yeah, like could they use that as a reason to deny someone a job?
That's a much trickier legal question. I mean, a city could try to argue that they have the same interest in lowering healthcare costs and reducing absences related to alcohol use. But the expectation of privacy when it comes to what people drink in their own time might be viewed differently by a court. The key point would likely be that first question we talked about. Is there a reasonable expectation of privacy when it comes to that specific behavior in the context of a government job? The level of public visibility and how often people have to disclose whether they drink alcohol is definitely different from smoking.
So to wrap up our deep dive into City of North Miami versus Kurtz, what's the big takeaway for our listeners?
The main thing to remember is that the Florida Supreme Court said that when it comes to applying for government jobs in Florida, there's no reasonable expectation of privacy regarding someone's smoking habits.
Okay.
This meant that the City of North Miami was allowed to have that policy requiring job applicants to be tobacco-free for a year before applying, mostly to save money on healthcare.
Makes sense. And what's the bigger significance of this case beyond just rules about smoking?
This case really shows us how we're constantly trying to find a balance between what individuals want and what the government needs, especially when it comes to public sector jobs. It reminds us that even with strong constitutional protection of privacy like Florida has, those rights aren't unlimited.
Right. They depend on the situation.
Exactly. The court's decision highlights how important it is to look at things like whether the behavior is public and how specific and narrow the government's rule is when trying to find that balance.
As always, so much to think about.
Definitely.
So as we finish up today, here's one last thing for you all to ponder.
Okay, go for it.
Considering the reasoning in Kurtz, could we see similar arguments being made about other lifestyle choices that could affect costs for public employers?
That's a good one.
And if so, where do we draw the line? How do we protect individual freedom from government policies that might be too intrusive, especially during the hiring process?
So many questions to think about.
It's a lot to chew on as you continue your legal studies and think about the future of employment law and personal liberties.
Absolutely. Great food for thought.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive, everyone.
See you next time.